When was the last time a commercial or advertisement caught your attention? Companies are competing for sales, so they work hard to allure us with an image of the good life. A poster with an attractive couple sitting in a hot tub, the handsome man wearing a gold watch, the beautiful woman wearing diamond earrings. The implicit message, this could be you. A crowd of young people dancing to upbeat music while drinking a certain brand of rum. An adventurous snowboarding scene. A sentimental picture of a young family, parents with their children. An inspiring moment of achievement. Whatever it is that the advertisement is trying to sell, they give you an image of what your life could be like if only you buy their product. It's not only advertisements that give us this vision of the good life. It's also in shows, in movies, in books, and magazines, we encounter a worldly vision of the good life in conversations with friends. And it's even taught in schools sometimes. The world is offering you all that it's got. And I wonder, what part do you find most appealing? Are you looking for popularity, hoping to feel validated if you have enough friends? Are you looking for fun, hoping that with enough adventures, your life won't feel meaningless? Are you looking for money, expecting that with a high enough income, you won't need to worry because you can buy whatever you need and whatever you want? Are you looking for sex, thinking that physical pleasures and intimacy and relationships will satisfy you? Are you looking for power or influence, thinking that you can prove that you've made something of yourself if others follow you? We all want to live a good life, but is it found in these pursuits? Is there a different way to live? Let's find out. Hear the opening passage of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. And I'm reading from the Message version. I, Peter, am an apostle on assignment by Jesus, the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. No one is missing. Not one is forgotten. God the Father has his eye on each of you and has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Jesus. May everything good from God be yours. What a God we have! And how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. You never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing. Because you have kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking forward to, total salvation. The prophets who told us this was coming asked a lot of questions about this gift of life God was preparing. The Messiah's spirit let them in on some of it, that the Messiah would experience suffering, followed by glory. They clamored to know who and when. All they were told was that they were serving you, you who by orders from heaven have now heard for yourselves through the Holy Spirit the message of those prophecies fulfilled. Do you realize how fortunate you are? angels would have given anything to be in on this. Before exploring this passage, let's pray. Living God, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and we ask that you speak through it to us today. Help us to hear what you would have to say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the first sermon in a series called Sojourners. That's a word we don't often use in regular conversation. It comes into the English language from the French word séjourner, which means to stay. Sojourners are temporary residents, foreigners, strangers, people who are staying here for now. In the Bible, God's people are called sojourners as a metaphor. The world is not our permanent home. We belong to the kingdom of God, our heavenly home. This life is temporary. We belong to an eternal future. In Peter's letter, he refers to God's people as sojourners as well as exiles. Both of these words refer to people who are away from their home. The purpose of Peter's letter as a whole is to encourage Christians to keep trusting in God, to persevere through suffering, and to remain faithful to God. We all need to hear this encouragement periodically. We need to be reminded to trust, to persevere, and to remain faithful. We can easily drift away and become allured by worldly things. So the good news that I want to share with you today is that life with Jesus is better than anything the world can offer us. That's a bold claim, but I believe it with every fiber of my being. Jesus is better than anything. We're going to explore just two elements of life with Jesus that we find in this specific passage. First, there's a future. And second, there's purpose in suffering. So first of all, with Jesus, we have a future. Verse 5 says, God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. The world's messages to us are that you need to look out for yourself. You need to make something of your life. It all depends on you. Maybe these messages are meant to be motivating, but it's a lot of pressure. If my life and my future all depends on me, what if I screw up? Is my life over? Well, I have screwed up lots of times in my life, but by God's grace, it's never been over. When I was a teenager, I was captivated by the music industry. I would watch music videos on TV for hours, and I dreamed about having my own music video someday. Maybe part of it was the glamour and the fame, but for me, it was really the music itself that gripped my heart. I loved music, and I wanted to do it for a living. I quite literally wanted to become a rock star. And I didn't just leave it in the realm of fantasy. I started taking steps to try to pursue my dream. When I was only 14 years old, I recorded my first CD. It was in my parents' basement using whatever kind of gear I could scramble together. And I'd been playing guitar for a few years at that time, and I taught myself how to play the drums for a couple months at least. So with my beginner skills as a musician and songwriter, I matched that with a larger-than-life confidence that there must be a listening audience that has to hear my music. When I had finished this little project, family and friends were kind enough to buy my CD and encourage me in my pursuit of my dreams. But there were also some who tried to bring me back down to earth and suggested that I should be realistic about a future in the music industry. Maybe I should have a backup plan. But I would have none of it. I had heard interviews as I was watching Much Music on TV. I heard these interviews from rock stars who shared about how their family and friends always told them that they would never make it. But look at them now. So Of course, I was hearing the same kind of thing, but if I had enough determination, I could make myself a rock star no matter what obstacles stood in my way. Well, fast forward about a decade, I got a designer to custom build a website for me. I spent thousands of dollars recording a CD professionally, and I had I had 1,000 CDs made, 1,000 copies. I had poured hours into practicing, writing, recording, and promoting my music. But here I was, at a small bar in Vancouver, late on a Thursday night. The sparse audience was barely paying attention to my performance. The bar didn't pay me. In fact, they expected that I spend some money buying some drinks. I had CDs available for sale after the concert, but no lineup of fans waiting to buy one. So as I left the bar, carrying my guitar, and waited for the bus stop, late at night, I wondered, what am I doing with my life? Perhaps you've never literally wanted to be a rock star, but have you been captivated by some worldly image of the good life? Have you been pursuing something and trying to make a future for yourself? I was grasping at a future for myself. I was trying to make my dreams a reality by my own efforts. But what I discovered and what I've continued to experience repeatedly through my life is that my future is in God's hands. I used to worry that if I entrusted my life to God, He would give me a life that I don't want. Instead, what I have experienced time and time again is that God has given me what I really want, deep down. Sometimes I only see what's on the surface, and I think I know what I want, but God plunges down deep like the iceberg underwater. Over time, God has purified my desires and helped me to see what really matters. When I was pursuing a worldly dream of becoming a rock star, I was miserable, to be honest. I had false hopes, and those were shattered. I felt taken advantage of by the music industry. I felt rejected. I saw myself as a failure. But when I began entrusting my life and my future to God, I felt held. I saw myself as a precious child of God. My life was now about more than myself. I was living for God's glory. My future was unfolding in surprising and beautiful ways. When we give our life to Jesus, our hope is not only for our future in this life, but also for a future after death. Young people don't often think about death. It can feel so far away. We're often removed from it, so we can ignore the reality that we will all die someday. Ultimately, even though death feels far away, we could die anytime. Just in the past few months, I've been to 2 memorial services for people who died prematurely. None of us are immune to this. Death is not necessarily a long way away from us, as we might expect. We need to face the fact that we will die someday, and it might be sooner than we realize. So, what hope do you have if you are going to die? What is the point of life right now? What's the point at all if we're just going to die someday, if it all is completely over at our last breath? Why even get up in the morning? Okay, maybe that sounds a little extreme, but I encourage you to think about it, to seriously consider what difference it makes when you know that you not only have life here and now, you have life eternal, life after death. That no matter what happens to you now, God has a lot more in store for you. Our hope for the future beyond the grave puts everything in perspective. Life with Jesus is better than anything the world can offer us, not only because he gives us a future, but also because he gives us purpose in suffering. There is no promise that life with Christ will be easy. We still face troubles, and in some cases, following Jesus actually brings more troubles in this life. Consider the persecuted church in places like China, where people face opposition and even danger for their faith. Suffering is inevitable in life if you live long enough. There is no escaping it. However, when we face Jesus, when we have Jesus in our lives, our trials and suffering become purposeful. 1 Peter 1, 6-7 says, "I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory." Whatever you face in this life, challenges, difficulties, suffering, struggle, opposition, God can take these things and turn them into something for our good. As we go through fire, we are purified. The parts of us that don't belong get burned up. We become more of our true self, the person God made us to be, the person God is transforming us to become. Authors of the spiritual life often write about a tension that we all experience between the false self and the true self, whether we realize it or not. In the book, The Gift of Being Yourself, David Benner compares the false self and the true self this way. The false self tries to achieve security and significance by what we have, what we can do, and what others think of us. The true self achieves security and significance by being deeply loved by God. The false self seeks happiness in autonomy and in attachments. The true self finds fulfillment in surrender to God and living in doing what God calls you to do. The false self finds identity in who we want others to think we are. The true self finds its identity in who we are in Christ. The false self is achieved by means of pretense. The true self is a gift received with gratitude. The false self is maintained by control. The true self is maintained by grace. The false self embraces illusion and attempts to become a god. The true self embraces reality and is transformed by God. We all struggle with a false self. My dream and pursuit of becoming a rock star was rooted in my false self. I wanted to be someone I wasn't. I was allured by images of the good life in music videos. Although it was incredibly painful to have that dream shattered, as I look back now, God used that experience to transform me. He purified me. He peeled back layers of my false self so I could emerge as more of my true self. To this day, God continues to use all the difficult experiences in my life for my transformation. God weaves the dark and painful parts of our lives into something beautiful. Some of you might have experienced some significant hardships in life, and that's not something to take lightly. It might take years to accept what has happened in your life and to trust God to do something with it. So please feel no pressure to get over it or to move on. The only thing I'm trying to encourage you to do is to open yourself up to God's transformative work in your life over time. It's not easy. It's often not pleasant. But I've heard countless times from Christians who have gone before me that the most transformative experiences in their lives weren't the good and easy things. It was the trials they experienced. A woman shared with me recently about how an autoimmune disease changed her life. You might assume that her life got worse with this sickness, but she shared about the deep work God did in her heart as the illness slowed her down. She had been trying to make something of herself before, always go, go, go. But the illness caused her to find her identity in God rather than in what she could achieve. She wouldn't trade her profound experience of God's love for perfect health if she had the chance. She has purpose in her suffering. When we realize that God takes our suffering and uses it for good, we can experience hope and joy in the midst of trials. We can be hopeful that what's on the other side of our suffering will be something good. And we can be joyful because we celebrate what God is accomplishing in us. And we can be joyful simply because Jesus is with us. This hope and this joy doesn't come automatically. It's easier to feel hopeless and miserable, to dwell on our current predicament. So that's why it's helpful to keep reminding ourselves that we are sojourners. We are strangers in this world awaiting our heavenly home. There's more going on than our current situation. There's more than our present suffering. A few years ago, a young woman, was going through cancer treatment. It was hard. She lost all her hair. She wasn't sure if the treatment would prevent her from having children someday, which was something she longed for, so that was potentially a devastating loss. She had to put her career on pause while she focused on her health. There were all kinds of disappointments, fears, and griefs. But in the midst of it all, when I visited her, what she told me was that she was keeping an eternal perspective. This life here and now was not the end for her, no matter what happens. All that she had lost and all that she had to put on pause was momentary, even though it was incredibly painful. She had hope for the life to come, as well as hope for what God would continue to do in her life now. She also had joy knowing that God was with her. She still had her smile, her sense of humor, her laugh and boisterous personality. Only Jesus can have this kind of effect on a person. Nothing else in the world can give us substantial hope and joy in the midst of trials. Life with Jesus is better than anything the world can offer. Jesus gives you a future, and he gives you purpose in suffering. The things of this world cannot give you that. The images of the good life the world is selling you are empty pursuits. So be in the world, but not of the world. You are a sojourner, a stranger in this world. You have been chosen by God for a purpose. Do not get caught up in worldly pursuits. Don't get complacent about following Jesus. God has chosen you and set you apart for his purposes. So live into your identity as God's holy people. You are sojourners. Let's pray. Holy God, it is tempting to live no differently from the broader culture. It is alluring to chase after worldly images of the good life. Help us to not only believe, but also experience that life with Jesus is better than anything the world can offer. Give us purpose in our trials. Give us hope for a future. We are your people. Our lives are in your hands.